Bloomington is set to name a new, at least temporary, city manager soon, but the mayor would like to stick around for another 4 years.
A lot has been accomplished in Bloomington in the past, you know, 3 or 4 years.
More just ahead on WGLT Sound Ideas. Good evening, I'm John Norton. Also on today's show, a plan in Springfield would create stiffer penalties for threatening library workers.
I really wish that it wasn't necessary, but I think that it's nice to feel heard.
Plus, Bloomington's new Cat Cafe has increased adoptions, but that's not its sole purpose.
The relaxation of getting to come in and enjoy time with the cats is probably just as rewarding.
Those stories follow a Bloomington Normal News update. This is Sound Ideas on 89.1 WGLT and WGLT.org, part of the NPR network.
Support for WGLT comes from Bloomington Normal Audiology. Here My Story continues with local patients Ralph and Carol Weisite.
I do like the feature that allows you to adjust the direction that the sound is coming from. Really is helpful in just being able to have a good conversation with somebody.
Ralph and Carol's full story can be found at bnaudiology.com.
From the campus of Illinois State University in Normal, this is WGLT's news magazine, Sound Ideas. Good evening, I'm John Norton. Bloomington's mayor says he will seek another term. And in this interview with WGLT's Charlie Schlenker, Mboka Malambwe says the council has also settled on a successor to the departing city manager, Tim Gleason.
We had a really good discussion. The council felt overwhelmingly positive about the direction that we're going to go in this case. So we'll likely have a, the plan is to have a reveal, I guess, for lack of a better term, on this coming Thursday.
So it's likely there will be an interim then, and not a permanent replacement immediately.
Well, let's wait and see what's going to happen. I don't want to give away too much before that day, but. You can anticipate that, we've made a choice and then we will reveal more details in the next couple days.
So if you have a choice, the obvious ones are Jeff Juergens or Billy Tyus, the two current deputies. Is Billy Tyus interested in the job?
That's a question that you will have to ask him. And again, I don't want to be, to sound coy or anything like that. But what I could say, there are some discussions, happening. And then more will be revealed in the next couple of days, likely when you see the agenda come out. And at that point, we'll be very happy to say a lot more about it.
Jeff Juergens is relatively new in a deputy city manager position, mm-hmm. but he, of course, has a longer term tenure with the city mm-hmm. In another role. Is he a viable option?
Yeah, certainly Jeff Juergens is a viable option. My understanding, even from conversations with City Manager Gleason, I think he's even said that publicly, is that the way how he had envisioned, these positions as deputy city managers is that, highly capable individuals who could step in at any given moment. If the city manager was, absent, for a few days, for a few weeks, or even longer term. So I would say deputy city manager Juergens is certainly a viable option. And we have to remember that, his experience is not just with the city. He's had a lot of experience with other municipalities, advising them in various roles. And so he has seen quite a bit about how a municipality functions, you know, the good, the bad, and everything that you can think in between. So
you need somebody by May 6th, or do you? Could you have a two-headed bifurcation and have both of them be co on an interim basis?
Yeah, so you would say a two-headed monster.
Two-headed Hydra, I don't know.
There you go. Yeah, but I don't think that would be ideal. You know, I do think you definitely need somebody who's identified as the person who makes the final decisions.
This is Sound Ideas. I'm Charlie Schlenker. We're talking with Mayor Mboka Mulambwe of the City of Bloomington. You are having a State of the City speech and event on May 1st. Mm-hmm. Is that the first one of these you've done?
In that particular format, yes. We have experimented, you know, with a number of different things. We've had in the past a committee of the whole where the staff talked about, you know, accomplishments.
And one year you partnered with Mayor Coos of Normal to give the community a State of the City update at Illinois Wesleyan.
Yes.
So why the change?
Well, the change, I think, you know, in talking to the staff, they said, well, you know, We've tried a couple of different things, and we really wanted, a lot has been accomplished in Bloomington in the past, you know, 3 or 4 years, especially when you take into consideration COVID. So, you know, thought, well, let's try something different to really reflect on the accomplishments.
The new standalone format, though, mm-hmm. begs the question, mm-hmm. is this also a political event, and are you running?
It is not a political event. I did ask, you know, when the staff asked me, you know, approached me about that, you know, I said to them, well, I, you know, okay, I would be fine with it. You know, just want to make sure that it's not perceived as a political event.
Well, two things can be true. It can be both, even if you don't emphasize the political. Are mm-hmm. you running?
Well, my plan is to run again. That is for sure. And that's a decision that I made. So you're getting the scoop. It's a decision that I had made, you know, I would say probably about a couple of months ago, that I was going to do that. I haven't said that publicly, especially in this format that will go out over the airwaves. You know, I've had people ask me, are you planning on running again? And I said, yes, I plan on running again.
What do you want to accomplish if you are given a second term?
Well, what I want to accomplish is really continue on the, you know, the great trajectory that we find ourselves in. I know we've developed a lot of plans, like the downtown streetscape. You know, it's something that's very exciting. We have a lot of infrastructure that we need to continue to repair. And what is even more exciting to me is that you know, we kind of put this plan forward to be a little bit more aggressive in terms of seeking funding from grants and our congressional, you know, elected officials and also at the state level. So definitely that's something that really excites me. And I think we have an opportunity. You know, housing is also another one of those things, you know, that I've talked with the staff, you know, say we definitely need to be, be more aggressive and find a way to make it happen, because that's what I think could be an impediment to further economic development growth.
That's Bloomington Mayor Mboka Mulambwe. He spoke with WGLT's Charlie Schlenker. Tomorrow on Sound Ideas, you'll hear from a high schooler from Bloomington researching how AI technology like ChatGPT could be used for more than writing papers. Shashi Salavat talks with WGLT about how he spent his summer vacation working on deep sea submersibles and drone swarms at a Chinese university. Again tomorrow on Sound Ideas. Stories and conversations around Bloomington Normal and McLean County. This is WGLT's Sound Ideas. Library employees across Illinois have faced increased threats and intimidation in recent years. The Bloomington Public Library is no exception. The rise in hostility is largely part of a movement to get more books and other content removed that some find objectionable. Illinois is looking to discourage those threats by designating library employees as public officials. That designation would carry additional jail time, according to a proposal. Bloomington Public Library Director Jeannie Hamilton tells WGLT student reporter Eric Dito, hostile behavior has made it more difficult for libraries to keep staff.
It's been disheartening over the past few years seeing that libraries, which are typically a place that are supported across the aisles, it's become a little bit of a political grounds where we're seeing controversies and things that we haven't seen in the past. And there are library workers that are leaving the profession because it's gotten stressful for them. I think that it's great to live in Illinois and see that support. I really wish that it wasn't necessary. But I think that it's nice to feel heard, and librarians and library staff at all levels, really, I think we go into the profession wanting to serve people. So that's been what I've seen when there's people book challenges. We are absolutely okay with that, and want to review our collection and make sure we're hearing the community. But it's over the past few years we've seen those attacks being very personal to the staff, and staff take it very personally, and it's hurtful to them because they really are trying to do what they think is best and trying to serve the community. And so that's been hard to see.
Has the Bloomington Library experienced anything like that? Challenges that have maybe gone too far?
We have been fairly fortunate that we haven't had a lot of book challenges. There a few years ago, there was some displeasure with a display that we did. The display was with graphic novels, and it was near the children's section, and some of the graphic novels did have some adult content in them. And so I think there were some misunderstandings about it, and there were people that were not very happy. And so there was a board meeting where people came and they used public comment, which is completely appropriate. But I think there was a lot of passion behind both sides of the issue. And that was something that we as staff worked through, and we do try to be more conscious of the location of some of our displays.
So you mentioned being conscious of the location of where you put stuff. How else can you kind of stay in front of and mitigate possible challenges to books that might be controversial in the future?
Yeah, we do have a policy on how it's called a request for reconsideration, and we have a form and a process. And so when somebody's upset with something, our first step is we always try to talk to them and listen to their concerns. And sometimes people are walk away really happy after we talk to them because they understand what the staff thought process was behind selecting a book, and they also understand the different options they might have. So one thing that we tell parents and guardians, it's really we like to give the opportunity to the parents and guardians to look at what their and decide what their children can look at. And so we have some different steps that they can do too, and so we try to give them tips on ways to review the items for themselves. And then sometimes people do want to take that next step, and so we have a committee then that reviews the titles, and then we reply with a formal response to the person submitting the challenge.
As we continue with Bloomington Public Library Director Jeannie Hamilton, the library is making progress on its $25 million expansion, though not as quickly as she had hoped. They hope to move into the renovated part of the building by summer.
It was longer than we originally thought. So originally, when we first started construction, we thought it was going to be an 18-month process. And we think by the time it's all done, it will be about 24 months. But in this day and age, that's pretty great as well. And we did have a firm bid through a formal bidding process. And so the delays have not cost the library and the taxpayers any extra money. So that's been a great thing. And I think we've been really creative. I'm really proud of staff and appreciative for patrons for being so patient. We've been able to offer pretty much all of our services, some scaled back a little bit, but throughout that entire time period.
Can you kind of just run me through what is fee amnesty and why are you offering it?
I think I'll back up a little bit. So in 2018, the library board, they approved automatic renewals. So that was kind of our first step in moving from moving towards a more equitable environment, making sure everyone has equitable access to the library. In early 2019, we then followed up with, we were moving to a new computer system, and we decided to do a fresh start program at that point. And that was waiving all fines and that were on the books at that time. And then we also got rid of items that had been lost for more than 5 years, the fees for that, giving a fresh start. And then during COVID, we went to removing all fines. And then now, 5 years after that fresh start program that happened in 2019, we really were looking at it and thought, why not do this again? The getting rid of those lost fees for people who have had them on our books, quote unquote, for 5 years.
So how is this going to affect patrons that might have had those fees? What kind of services were they missing out on that maybe they could have taken advantage of and now they're going to be able to again?
Yeah, for a long time, we have tried to still let them use things in the library, but they really are missing out on being able to take books home. And then in looking at these accounts that are going to be waived at this point in time, 26% of those were kids. Those kids are really missing out on being able to access books and take them home, be able to enjoy them, or even for school projects. So that's something that's really important to us. Some people, maybe they want to check out books to help them get a job, or also then the people who want to read for fun as well.
That was Bloomington Public Library Director Jeannie Hamilton speaking with WGLT student reporter Eric Dito. To Sound Ideas on WGLT, I'm John Norton. A few years ago, the COVID pandemic prompted a lot of people to change their lives. For salon owner and cat lover Lori Mines, it prompted her to finally open the small business she's been thinking about for some time. Mines is the owner of The Cat's Meow in Bloomington. She told WGLT's Lindsay Jones that she spent 2 years working to get Bloomington Normal's first cat cafe up and running after being inspired to do so in 2021.
And it was like, we need a cat cafe in Bloomington Normal. And in the post-pandemic world, where like we needed to bring communities together and people are struggling more with like their mental health and they don't have an outlet to come get the natural serotonin you get from having a kitten in your lap. We just needed something like that in this community. So I was like, I'm going to make it.
I feel like there are a couple of like different models of cat cafes, like where some of them like yours, you adopt out. Yes. And then there's others that have just like resident cats. Mm-hmm. You could have gone either way. Why did you go the way that you did with partnering with Pet Central Helps?
Pet Central Helps is such an amazing agency, and I've been a huge fan of theirs for years. And it's just another outlet to get these shelter animals off the streets and into good homes and get the care that they need and get everyone adopted out. So there's that aspect of doing good things for the rescue, but also the aspect of having cats in-house for people to love on. But the more cats rescued, the better.
Is it hard sometimes? when you get a new set of cats in?
Totally. It's totally hard because I fall in love with every single one of them. I know all of them personally. But I know that they're going to find their forever homes that's going to care for them better than me as one human being could care for. And so since we have been so blessed and successful getting them adopted out quickly, I don't really have that much time to get super duper attached to anybody. There have been a few that tested my boundaries, but you know, they would get more love and exposure to other families here in the cafe than they would in my living room. So it's for their best interest to go to another family than to just be in my house.
Which was your hardest goodbye?
Okay, well, I have two stories. I really, really, really loved Ted. I don't know if Ted's mom and dad are out there listening. Ted was just this scraggly little tabby that didn't really look like anything special. No offense, Ted. But he just had the greatest personality. He was so sweet and so loving, and I just really clicked with him. But also, I was in love with Baby Meow. Baby Meow is this sweet, wonderful 22-pound chunk of a lady. Oh my gosh. And she had this tiny little, meep. The sweetest little, meow, and I just loved her, too. And she very quickly got adopted to her forever family, too.
How many adoptions have there been since you opened, and how long has it technically been since your opening day?
Yeah, actually, in 2 days, it will be our 7-month anniversary, and we've adopted out, as of today, 130 cats. I know, that's a lot. I feel like that's a lot of cats. To come in and out of this establishment with my small crew and our small resources, to have 130 rescue animals being brought in, cared for, and being adopted out, that's a huge amount of work, and it's been amazing.
So what has been your most rewarding part of going into this business, and then what has been the most challenging now that you've opened?
Oh, that's a good question. The most rewarding is by far how happy the families are that adopt the cats. I would say that's the top reward, is seeing how many cats are getting placed in the forever homes and so many cats are being rescued. But also just the happiness I think it brings to customers that just want to come in and relax. I really appreciate the texts I get from people saying, I was having such a bad day and I don't need to adopt a cat, but I just wanted to come in and pet some and feel better and feel good about myself. And I mean, there's just the relaxation of getting to come in and enjoy time with the cats is probably just as rewarding, because it just gives human beings, you know, that good sense as well that we all need. The most challenging part, after the initial setup, that of course was very, very hard. And the legislature and stuff like that, that I had to get to, the permits, the approvals, all that stuff just to get open. Once all those hurdles were gone, I feel like it's been fairly smooth sailing, you know. Yeah. Supply chain issues a little here and there, not always having stuff in stock. That's kind of normal, but the day-to-day running the show has not really been that challenging, and I'm super grateful for that.
Is this a model you picked up somewhere else, or is this something you've come up with from scratch?
My own brainchild somehow, you know, a shower thought with all my other thoughts. I just thought it'd be so fun. I just think, what would I want as a teenager? And that's 100% what I would have wanted to go to in summer camp.
That was Lori Mines, the owner of Cats Meow Cat Cafe, speaking with WGLT's Lindsay Jones. The Cats Meow plans two events this summer. One is a kid and kitty camp for children to learn how to care for cats. The other will show how you can open your own cat cafe. Since that interview was recorded, the total number of cats adopted from the Combo Coffee Shop and Cat Rescue has topped 140. And that's Sound Ideas today. WGLT's news magazine is made possible in part by Bloomington Normal Audiology. I'm John Norton. Story help today came from WGLT's Lindsay Jones and Charlie Schlenker. You also heard from student reporter Eric Dito. Ryan Tuohy edits Sound Ideas. This is 89.1 WGLT and WGLT.org, part of the NPR network.